Thanks so much for joining us today. We'd love to know how much this ministry is touching your life. Please take a moment and email us your story at stories@transformationchurch.net. Also, if you would like to help support this ministry financially, you can do so by visiting us at transformationchurch.net, clicking on the Giving tab, and choosing the giving option that best works for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Your story matters. Your story is not over. Perseverance separates the ordinary from the extraordinary. Stories of victory are not filled with pages of apathy, but with chapters of consistency. No one promised that it would be easy, or that it would be painless, or that it would be without commitment. This journey will take grit. It will take fight. It will take everything you've got. It will take throwing off your fears, running from your insecurities, and climbing outside the walls of your comfort zone. All that's behind you has prepared you for what is in front of you. All that's inside of you has prepared you for what is to come for you. All that has caused you pain, caused you doubt, caused your heart to stop beating, it is all working together, coming through, pushing forward. This will not be the ending. You might be down, but you're not out. You have fight left in your bones. You have strength left inside of your skin. You have the power to get back up, and try again. The comeback is ahead of you. It is closer than you think. Your comeback is near. You are closer than you think. The finish line is straight ahead. The victory banner is being raised. Keep pushing. Keep pressing. Give it every last ounce of your strength. This is it. This is the comeback.
I am so excited to begin a brand new sermon series beginning today called The Comeback. Over the next few weeks, we'll be diving into the scriptures and looking at stories of people who had setbacks but yet experienced great comebacks. I believe this Easter, God wants to give you a comeback. How many believe that? God is planning your comeback. But you can't have a comeback unless you first experience a setback. And I'm sure as we look at the past year or 2 years or maybe few years for some of you, you've experienced a lot of setbacks. I just want to encourage you. God dropped this series in my heart to tell you that you might have experienced some setbacks. They might have been difficult setbacks and hard setbacks, but God is planning your comeback. I just want to encourage you, church, your comeback is coming. Do you believe that? Your comeback is coming. As I think of the greatest comebacks or great comebacks, the first thing I think of is sports. I'm a sports nut. I'm a sports guy. I love sports. And when I think of comeback, I think of the 2016 NBA Finals when the Cleveland Cavaliers faced the mighty Golden State Warriors. What was amazing is that the Warriors were 73-9. They had surpassed Michael Jordan's Chicago Bulls 72-win series as the most wins in any season. LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers were down 3-1 in the NBA Finals until LeBron James dug deep in his soul. And he dug deep in the soul of Cleveland, and the Cleveland Cavs come back to win 3 straight games to win the 2016 NBA Finals. Isn't that amazing? That's incredible NBA Finals comeback. When I think of great comebacks, I think of the 2016 Chicago Cubs. Chicago Cubs. The Chicago Cubs had not won a World Series in 108 years. Imagine that. 108 years. They're facing, who are they facing? Cleveland Indians, right. And they were down 3-1. Same thing. 108 years, down 3-1. It was going to be, same old Cubs, right? Same old Cubs, but the Cubs dug deep and they had rallied and had a comeback. and they won 3 games in a row to win their first World Series in 108 years. Give it up to the Chicago Cubs, 2016. Then my mind goes to 1992. The Buffalo Bills versus the Houston Oilers. This game is known as the comeback game. Now, Buffalo Bills were down 35-3 at halftime. They had their backup quarterback playing, Frank Reich, I think his name. So they go into the third quarter down 35-3. No Thurman Thomas, no Jim Kelly. Just, I think his name is Frank Reich, quarterback Reich. And he rallies his team to 5 straight touchdowns. They're now ahead 38-35. It's the last few moments of the game, but Houston ties it up. Oh my gosh. They're going into overtime. So they tie it up. So they do the toss. Guess who wins? Houston. The Oilers won the toss. So now they have the ball. They go first down. They're driving down the field until Buffalo intercepts the ball. Oh my gosh. Interception. Buffalo makes a few plays, drives down the field, and kicks the winning field goal to come back. To this day is the greatest NFL comeback in NFL history. Give it up to the Buffalo Bills. Are you kidding? But there's a comeback much greater than these sports comebacks. It's a World Heavyweight Championship boxing match comeback. If you don't know this comeback, I don't know what planet you live on. But Rocky Balboa was down to Drago. He's fighting in Russia. And there's Rocky Drago. And there's Rocky. And it's the 12th round. It's the 13th round. Now it's the 15th round. Rocky's in the ropes. Oh no, is he gonna lose? But Rocky digs deep in his soul. And he comes back with a right and a left and a right. And Drago goes down. He's the heavyweight champion of the world. Rocky, Rocky, Rocky. Woo! If Rocky can come back, how many know you can come back? I was waiting all week for that moment. Raise this up a little bit. Oh, my goodness. Rocky Balboa. Where am I? I'm in church. That's right. It's Easter. This is what I believe. That God is planning your comeback story. Because the greatest comeback ever was not Buffalo, was not LeBron James, and it wasn't the Cleveland Cavaliers, and it wasn't Rocky Balboa. The ultimate comeback is when Jesus was crucified on a cross. Everyone thought it was over and that he was down for the count. And then they placed him in a tomb for 3 days. And I could just imagine the devil himself laughing. It's over. It's finished. And then the devil starts counting because there is Jesus. He's out. He's on the mat. He's laying in a tomb and there's the devil. 1, 2. 3, 4, and all of hell is shaking because they think they finally killed the Savior. And then it was 8, and then the ground began to shake. You know what I was thinking of? Hulk Hogan. You know what I mean? How many remember Hulk Hogan? If you remember Hulk Hogan, he's fighting Andre the Giant, and Hulk Hogan was always down, right? He was out. He didn't move. And then it was 1, 2, and then it was, and there is Jesus. He's coming back. And it was 9, and the tombstone rolls away. And just before the devil said 10, Jesus comes to the edge of the tomb and says, "I'm back." Come on, somebody. Woo! Woo! Oh, man. What a comeback. The ultimate comeback. The ultimate comeback, and this is so important. If Jesus came back, how many believe that you can come back? Because the Easter story, if you believe in the Easter story can change everything. And I know we've all experienced some setbacks, but I'm here to tell you today that your setback is actually a setup for your greatest comeback. Do you believe that? Every setback, God is planning your comeback. What is a setback? A setback is a temporary defeat, failure, or loss. Those are some setbacks we experience in life. I want you to think about the setbacks you've experienced this past year. They're setbacks we all experience together. We all experience health setbacks and financial setbacks, physical setbacks, church setbacks. But you might have experienced personal setbacks on your own in addition to the setbacks we're going through. And there you are, experience a setback, and you think, you know what? It's the end of the story. But I'm here to tell you that your setback is not the end of the story. That for every setback, God plans a comeback. And your setback actually is an opportunity for you to come back, because whatever you've experienced in your past, there's nothing that you cannot come back from, because since Jesus came back, it's never too late for your comeback. In the Easter story, if you believe that Jesus rose again from the dead, if you believe in the ultimate comeback, I believe that beginning this Easter and this year, that God is going to plan your comeback. He's been planning your comeback, and you're going to start seeing your comeback. So every comeback story has three elements. Every good comeback story has three elements. The first element is the moment when you think it's over. Every comeback story has that moment in which you think it's over. It's 35-3. You're down 3-1, right? It's the 15th round and you're fighting Drago, okay? I know it's fake, but stay with me. Like, come on, let's imagine it being real. Help me out here today, right? You think you're down. It's that moment in which you think it's over. Your life is over. Your future is over. Your purpose is over. Your business is over. Your destiny's over. Every great comeback story has that moment when it seems like it's over. And this is what the disciples experienced when Jesus was crucified and put in a grave. We read in John 19:40, taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices in strips of linen. This was in accordance with the Jewish burial customs. And at the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. And because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. It was over. At least it appeared like it was over. I want you to think about the disciples for a moment as they've journeyed with Jesus for many years, as they follow Jesus, as they place their trust in Jesus. I want you to think about that they were following Jesus. They were putting their faith in Jesus, and they believed that Jesus was going to come and establish his kingdom on earth. They believed that he was going to come and overthrow the Roman government and place his throne in place of where the Caesar was. And they had all of their faith, all of their trust, all of their hope in Jesus. They believed that he was who he claimed to be. They believed that he was the Son of God. They followed him. They saw him feed the multitudes, 5,000, with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. They saw him bring life to dead bodies. They saw him give sight to the blind. They saw him perform miracles. So they believed that this has to be the Messiah. This has to be the Son of God. Yet they also saw him arrested. And then they saw him beaten and flogged. And in their minds, I know in my mind, I would be like, come on, JC, call down your angels. You heal the sick, you raise the dead, you can stop this. Yet Jesus didn't fight back because it wasn't his time. See, you can't have a comeback unless you have a setback. And they watched Jesus being tortured for 12 hours, flogged, and then brought to a cross and crucified. They saw the nails go into his hands and the nails through his feet. They saw him hanging there. And they heard his screech, his loud voice as he gave up his spirit. Ah! And at that moment, the clouds began to become dark. And at that moment, darkness covered the earth. And it appeared like it was over. I want you to think about your setback moments for a moment. Maybe you're in a setback right now and you feel like it's over for you. It's over for your marriage. It's over for you financially. Maybe you made some poor decisions. Maybe you had to claim bankruptcy. Maybe your credit is shot. Maybe you just, you think the relationship with your mom, you have a bad relationship with your parents or family members. You think that that's over. In those setback moments, you can definitely feel like it's over. Now, for my wife and I, we felt like it was over when we experienced one of our greatest setback moments in our lives. See, Easter Sunday is a wonderful time of year, but for our family, it's a difficult time of year. On April 10th, 2004, we had one of the greatest setbacks that we've ever experienced as a family. My wife and I and our son Joey lost our 51-day-old infant son, Seth. And what made it so difficult is that it was the day before Easter weekend. At that moment, I felt like it was over for me as a pastor. I felt like it was over for us as a family. How do we move on? How do I pastor? How do I continue moving on with my life? How do I have a family? And I can remember having a funeral in the church. And back in those days, they used to line up the lilies all in the front of the church, all the plants. And I can remember the church was filled with Easter lilies while I'm having a funeral for my son. And maybe that's where some of you are today. You smell the Easter lilies, but you're experiencing such deep loss. Maybe you lost a loved one this year. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe you became unemployed. Maybe you lost your retirement. We all go through setbacks. But I'm here to tell you that God can turn your greatest setback into your greatest comeback. He can. And I know it was tough for us in that time, in that season of my life, but God gave us a comeback. And I can remember we were able to get back into ministry, back pastoring the church in Massachusetts. And I was able to kind of keep going. In the beginning, I was like a robot, but then eventually I was able to keep going as a pastor. But then I wondered, and we really decided that we're not going to have any more children because I couldn't go through that pain again. I couldn't go through that loss or the threat of a loss. And I can remember 2 or 3 years later after that setback that we found out, this is how we say it now, we were pregnant, right? We were pregnant. Back in that time, she was pregnant. But now it's we were pregnant. And it wasn't a time of celebration for us. I remember she's sharing the news, and I was in shock because I was scared. I was full of fear. We didn't share it with our parents. We were at our parents' house, my parents' house in Florida at the time, and we just kept it within ourselves, and we're like, oh, my gosh, what are we going to do? How are we going to get through this again? We can't go through this loss again. We can't go through this pain again. I remember on the very last day, we finally broke down in front of my parents, and I said, Mom and Dad, you know, we're pregnant. And my mom said, praise the Lord, hallelujah. And I'm like, what? Do you know what we've been through? She goes, I've been praying for more grandbabies. And she said, the last time I was in your home, I anointed your bed with oil. How many are grateful for moms that anoint their bed with oil? The power of praying moms. Thank you, all you praying moms out there. Thank you. Thank you for your faith. And we were trying to be upbeat, But I was just broken. I was scared to death. And I remember telling my dad at that moment, "Dad, I don't know if I can go through this." He said, "Son, God is going to bless you. You have nothing to fear." And he laid his hand on me. In the name of Jesus, I pray against fear. We believe by faith that this child is going to be healthy and whole, that there are not going to be complications, that this baby is going to come forth. And at that moment, it was like a peace came over my life, a peace. She experienced no complications, and Josiah came into the world. Josiah, we love the name Josiah. He's running the cameras right now. He's there, running. He's my main camera guy right there, Josiah. But let me tell you, Josiah has been a blessing to our family as well as my son Joey. But we love the name Josiah. But it wasn't until later that I found out that the name Josiah means the Lord heals. Now I'm here to tell you, I don't know what setback you've been through. I don't know what challenges you've been through. I don't know what pain you've been through. But I'm going to tell you, he's a God who heals. He's a God who heals. He's a God who restores. He's a God that knows how to bring you back to health. He's a God to bring you back to life. Things won't be the same. We'll always have a loss, but we don't stay stuck in that loss. We move forward in faith. God turned our greatest setback into one of our greatest comebacks, and here we are 16 years later. And I know this coming Saturday is going to be painful for us. It is. It always is. But that's okay, because God is giving us the strength. He helps us to continue to preach faith and hope. And he uses my story to be a testimony of his grace and love. And I know bad things happen in this world, and I don't understand why bad things happen. But this I know, even in the hardest of hardships and setbacks that my wife and I have faced in our lives, we still know that God is good and that he's for us and that he loves us. And that setback doesn't have to define you. That setback doesn't define me, right? And when I look at the Easter story, I'm reminded that if Jesus came back, I can come back. I can come back from anything. So at least my second moment, the second moment in every great comeback story is the moment that you start to believe. You start to believe. It's that moment in which it's like in that football game, it's 35-28. Oh my gosh, can this actually happen? It's the moment in which the players are saying, we can do this. We believe. Although they have not seen the result, they believe in the result. And this happened in John. This happened when Jesus was crucified. We read in John chapter 20, verse 1, he says, "Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw the stone had been," what? "Removed from the entrance." So, boom, the comeback already came. Jesus came back. But notice that she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one who Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb." She does not say that he rose again. Mary Magdalene, the followers of Jesus, they were not even there. They thought it was over. I mean, if I actually believed that Jesus was going to do what he said, I would have found how the tents, they line up at Best Buy, they have tents. Like, we cannot wait for Black Friday, because when the doors open, we're running in to get our DVD player, whatever, your TV, right? I would have been camped out in front of the tomb for the greatest moment in human history. But there was nobody there. No disciple was there. And when they arrived, no one believed that he was alive, except for one. Let's keep reading. Next verse says, "So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb." They're like, OMG, what is going on? Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Notice, the other disciple doesn't have a name, but he's gone. He's like, "I think I know what happened. I think I know what happened." So he bent over and looked at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips there of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Imagine that. They get to the tomb. There it's all laid out, right? But finally, the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw that the comeback was happening. He believed in the comeback. And I wonder how many of us, God has been planning a comeback and God has been starting a comeback, but we cannot see the comeback because we're lost in our pain. We're lost in Saturdays who experience comebacks and those who don't. The one who believes, experiencing and feeling, God is planning a comeback. But I'm also here to tell you today that God is. One thing that's common with all of these teams and sports is that they believe that they can do it. Stay there. That seemed like all hope was lost. It was confusing. It was silent. What do you do when God is silent? Has God been silent to you in your setback? When I experience setbacks, the first thing I experience is silence from God. At least that's what I think. He's silent. God, where are you? Where are you in this pain? Where are you? I'm going to tell you, he hasn't left you. He hasn't forsaken you. He's with you. And he's grieving with you, and he's sad with you, and you wish it didn't happen, but he's planning for your comeback. He's planning it. So you got to, number one, grieve. Number two, embrace that in between, that confusing place. And then thirdly, you just got to have faith and believe and expect that you're going to have a comeback. You got to believe that. You got to expect that. Let's go to that verse that we skipped earlier. That verse, I want to leave it in your heart and in your spirit. In Romans 8:11, write this down. For the Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. You've got comeback power living in you. There's no setback that's going to kill you. There's no setback that you can't come back from. You got comeback power in you. I came to tell you today, God wanted me to tell you today that he knows what you've been through. He knows the setbacks that you've experienced. He knows the losses. He feels your pain. But he wanted me to tell you, get ready for your comeback. Because I'm planning for your comeback. This year, it's going to be a year of your comeback. This year, TC is going to come back. We're going to come back. We might look different than the way we started, but we're coming back. We're coming back stronger, right? We're coming back smarter. We're coming back better. We're coming back. Would you bow your head with me today? Every head bowed and eyes closed. There's some of you who've been away from Jesus, and he's saying to you, it's time for you to come back. Come back to faith. Come back to Jesus. It's time to come back to him. If you're listening, if you're watching this online or here in person, and you are you've drifted far from God. Maybe there's a story in the Bible about a prodigal son who went off and lost his way. And maybe you're here today, say, you know, it's time for me to come back to church. It's time for me to come back to faith. It's time for me to come back to Jesus. If that's you, it's time for you to come back. Say, Jesus, here I am. If you're ready to give your life to Jesus or maybe rededicate your life to Jesus, can we all pray this prayer together? Say, dear Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Give me a comeback. I love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Lord, I just pray for every person here today that they would experience your love and your presence, that they would sense your comeback power in them. Lord, thank you for reminding us that there's nothing too difficult for you. Thank you, Lord, for your power that lives in us. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name. And everybody together said, amen and amen. I love you guys. Before we go, If you made that decision to follow Jesus, congratulations. Can we give it up for those people? The back table, we have a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, stop at the back table. We have free Bibles for you. If you're watching online, fill out the form. We'll mail you a free Bible. Also, next week is baptisms. If you're ready to take that step of faith, there's a card, a blue card in the seat back pocket. Fill it out. Drop it in the bucket in the back. We will love to dunk you next week. It is safe, sanitized, and wet. And lastly, next Sunday, 9:30 and 11. 9:30 and 11. Only two services. Love you guys. Have a great Easter. Happy Easter.